what I'd like to do, essentially, is understand some of the different nekudos, some of the different understandings, to analyze some of the different tefillos, try to understand a little bit about them, try best to explain some of them. I was thinking of two different orders I can go in. One would be a straightforward order, starting with Moda Ani and getting to Shmona Esrei, but I figured, although that's the chronological order, nonetheless, I prefer to go in order of things I want to say. And this way, I don't have to hold out for 40 minutes to get to Shmona Esrei, and guys are sleeping and whatnot. So I'd like to do is start off with some of the Nekudas in Shmona Esrei that I'd like to be more aware of, explain a little bit. You know, when the goal is to hopefully understand Shmona Esrei, which is Ayakim of Talmud Torah, understanding different Chazal, and number two, much more importantly, that people should be able to dive in a more appropriate and proper Shmona Esrei. I'm going to skip around. I may start with the first paragraph from Esrei, jump to Modani, pick up the Birchas Torah, move to some of the Asher, move to Asher, move to Kriyat Shema, Birchas Kriyat Shema, pick up more from Esrei. Don't be affected. If the order's out of order, you'll just pay attention nonetheless. So, the beginning of Shmona Esrei. I'll make one more comment quickly. Feel free to come and go. You don't have to stay for the whole thing. It's not a shiur. I'm just going to sit here and talk out loud some Divrei Torah. You want to come, you want to go, you're interested, some guys want to join late, you're more than welcome to. This is just, you know, I don't know, I'm just going to sit here and be like, like a preacher. Not like a preacher. I'm just say over stuff I know. Feel free to leave if it gets boring, you need to take a break, come back. This is just, you know, you should feel free to stay till the end, whatever. What?
Like
a Vadis down at the sundown at the hotel. He talks and you come, you leave, he doesn't care, nothing, everything's open. It's fluid. So the Shmona Esrei, the first bracha of Shmona Esrei, if you think about it, it's really fundamentally different from every other bracha in Judaism. There's no other bracha in Kol Tarkula that starts off with the words Bracha to Hashem, continues with Elokeinu, and then doesn't follow up with Melech Olam. You have two types of brachas, Bracha to Hashem, Magen Abraham. Bracha to Hashem, you know, Rofecho Emo Yisrael. A quick one, Bracha to Hashem, without the word Elokeinu, punchline, end of story. Gal Yisrael. Then you have the Bracha to Hashem, and then usually the ones that don't end up right away have the Elokeinu and Melech Olam, Hamotzi Lachem Min Haaretz, Asher Hashem Tzivanu Al-Pi Yoseh Ha'Yad Sadayim. The only bracha in all of Judaism which starts off Bracha to Hashem and continues with Elokeinu and does not have Melech Olam, which is surprising because the Gemara seems to articulate in bracha that if you say Elokeinu you need Melech Olam, is Shmona Esrei. And Tosfos points out there in Brachos, I believe it's Daf Mem or so, I'm not sure exactly where it is, that Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov somehow take the place of Melech Olam, which on a halachic level is very understandable, because it's not just Brachot Hashem, Elokeinu cut off, it is Melech Olam. Halachically, one can supplement for the others in Tosfos, but that doesn't explain to you why Chazal did it in the first place. Why the Anshei Knesset Agadola, as the Gemara Megillah records, were the ones who, and you're Zion, records they were the ones who established it. Shimon HaPakuli reminded everyone when the Anshei Knesset HaGadol made up Shmona Esrei, why did they not just take the standard formula? So if you look at the standard formula, the Salvechik explained it starts off Bracha to Hashem Elokeinu, which means our God, but by contrast he is also Melech HaOlam, the God of the world. And there's this duality. If on one hand the Ribono Shel Olam belongs to us, he's the God Elokeinu, on the other hand he's Melech HaOlam. When it comes to the first paragraph of Shmona Esrei, we no longer have these two foci. There's one specific focus. God is on Israel. God is ours. He's the God of our avos, or so we call the paragraph. And therefore, Melech HaOlam is not the appropriate message to suggest. It's Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu. Elokei Avraham as a Yachid, Elokei Yitzchak as a Yachid, Elokei Yaakov as a Yachid. And we continue talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's praise. He's Kone HaKol. He created us. He owns us. He's Zochar Chasdei Avos. He's Gomel Chasidim Tovim. He's Nevi Goel of Nevi Nehem Laman Shema B'Yahava. He's the Melech who is Ozer, Moshiel, Magen, and the Mefarshim point out each one is one step stronger. He's a protector, he's a guider, he's a shield. Bracha to Hashem, he's the God of Avraham specifically. This is the bracha where we relate closeness to God. We're not just whispering to ourselves, we're communicating with the Ribono Shel Olam. There's a very personal, close, tight relationship where we talk to him and he hears us. Where God is uniquely Am Yisrael, we have the ability to interact with Him. By contrast, pointed out at the Rav, that the second paragraph is the exact opposite. It's the almost like the paradigmatic example of the furthest potential opposite you could have. The second bracha focuses on Tchias HaMeisim. Five times in the daily davening is Tchias HaMeisim mentioned, and five times in this paragraph is Tchias HaMeisim mentioned. The only other time I know of, I'm aware of, where it's in the Siddur, It's in Shabbos morning. We say it just before Kel Adon. But still, the overwhelming majority and density of Tchiyas HaMesim is mentioned in this bracha, and the question is why. I think the two most powerful phrases, at least to me personally, are Micha Melcha Baal Gevros Amido Malach, God who is like you, who is comparable to you. And in a certain sense, the human mind is very limited. We can't think of anything totally creative. Try to think of a brand new color, which is not just a combination of two old colors. We can't do that. Try to think of something which is brand new and different from everything else and anything else you've ever thought of. You can't. You can take an old object and fix it up, but the human mind is not creative. It can't just think of something totally different from anything else. And therefore, the only things we understand are things that are similar to things we saw, experienced, smelled, tasted, touched, heard, lived, and dreamt. There's nothing created, nothing brand new. And if that's the case, God, who we've never heard, experienced, saw, smelt, touched, we really know nothing about God. We say, Micha Mocha, Baal Givros, Mido Malach, God, we have nothing to compare to. You know what we're really saying? We have no comprehension at all of you, Rebbe. We are finite and you are infinite. And I use this mashal in the past. I love it. If you look around at this base measure, if you're one of 500 people sitting and learning Shtark on a normal day, being that it's half band is not in about 450, and one of 500,000 people in Yerushalayim, and one of 6 million people in Israel, and one of about a couple hundred million in the Middle East, and one of 6 billion in the world, and one the Earth is, you know, a small fraction of, you know what I'm saying, of Jupiter. The guys in my share said today over. But in other words, the Earth fits into Jupiter. Three Earths fit into that one little eye, and that one little eye can fit about 150 times to the rest of Jupiter, and Jupiter fits in tens of thousands of times into the Sun. And the Sun fits in millions of times into a big red star, and the red star fills in billions of times to a galaxy. It's just unbelievably, it's unbelievable. It's humbling how small we are compared to the world. It's inspiring how large the world is and how great it is, and the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is infinite. And we have no comprehension of such a thing. And that's essentially captured in Tchiyas HaMesim. It's the best example. It's the prototype of something that God does that we just have no ability to understand and comprehend. It's a Havana we can't conquer. We don't understand God. And these praises of God is God's infinity, his uniqueness. And in a certain sense, it's going to be that exact tension which opens up at Shimon Esrei. And if you thought about it on a philosophical level, the two major thoughts that you should deal with is, I'm talking to God here, which is on one hand, I really want to communicate. What could be more valuable conversation than talking to God? And on the other hand, what tremendous chutzpah and temerity and audacity do I have that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam listens to me? Who am I to stand up as this little speck on a globe, which is a speck compared to specks compared to specks? At the end of the day, I have the right to talk, no matter. And the resolution, I believe, lies in the third bracha. Atah Kadosh, V'Shimcha Kadosh. On one hand, God, you're holy, which sounds like the second bracha. God, you're separate. God, you're removed. A Kadesh, as we see in last week's parsha, is nothing to do with holiness. It's a prostitute. It's a harlot. But she's separate. She's removed. Kedusha is different from Chol. Chol means mundane. The weeks are the Yimei Chol. There's nothing wrong with them. They're regular days. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with today, which is Wednesday. It's just that Shabbos has Kedusha. It's different. It's elevated. It's unique. It's special. It's godly. It's holy. Atah Kadosh, God, you are different. You, and that's always said, Atah Kadosh, V'Shimcha Kadosh. Almost similar to paragraph number two. You're distant. You're separate. You're unique. We don't comprehend. We don't understand. You're infinite. But on the other hand, Ukdoshim Chol Yom Mehalucha Sela, Brachat Hashem Akel HaKadosh. It's our responsibility. Kedoshim nonetheless praise your name every day. It's our obligation to bring Kedusha into this world, to bring godliness into the world, to bring spirituality, to Mekash Techol. And even though it's impossible for this world to fully capture your infinity, nonetheless we'll try to bring as much into this world as possible. Or better and more appropriately phrased in Kedusha, Nikadesh et Shimcha Be'olam. It's our job to Mekadesh your name in this world. But not just any Kiddushas Hashem. Kishem Shmak Tishem Otao B'Shmei Marom. The way that the angels do it, like it says, Kakasev Ayad Neviyacha, the way the angels occurs. In other words, and it's not just, I think it's Rav Yaakov Emden points out, we're not just quoting the angels by saying Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. We're mimicking the angels by standing with one foot. We're lifting up, we're going on our tiptoes as if we want to elevate from this world. We want to be Makadosh Hashem the best possible, best potential way we can, which is not the way humans do it, but the way angels do it. Until eventually we conclude with the goal of Yimloch Hashem Le'olam Elokayach Tzilon Davidar Haluka, to have God's presence, to have God's Kedusha, to have God's Malchus seen in this world, as more clearly articulated on Shabbos, Ve'inenu Sirenu Malchusecha. We want our best to see God's presence, we want our best to feel God's presence, we want our best to see God in this world. We're calling out for Malchus Shamayim in this world. And that's how Salvechik explained the first half Shema Esra. I'm going to jump back and say a little Zvar Torah on Mo Da'ani. I'm just going to jump around and just this is just Haaretz. If I have time, I'll get back to the rest of Shema Esra, right, where we left off. We start off every morning, the way a Jew starts off every morning, Mo Da'ani Lefanecha, Mo Da, which means, I thank you, I admit to you. The word really has two connotations, two denotations even. Mo Da'ani Lefanecha, I am Mo Da before you. Melech Chai V'Kayam, to the King, to God, the Rabbonu Shel Olam. Why am I Mo Da? Because Shechazar Tabi Nishmas, because you returned me back, returned to me my Neshama. And this Machlokas and Siddurim had to punctuate, either Bechemla, or Bechemla Rabba. By some case, the word Chemla, the word Rabba is conjugating the word Chemla or Emunasecha. But either way, there are two adjectives, if I'm not mistaken, which are describing how a Kadosh Baruch Hu returned our Neshama. Two adverbs. God's returning, it's a verb. And these are two ways God did it, two adverbs. One is Bechemla, and number two is Emunah. Chemla means God did it with compassion, with mercy, with Rachmanus. God, we don't deserve it. It's not Midin you gave to it, it's the Rachmanus. God, thank you so much for giving me life. I don't deserve it. But on the other hand, it's with Amunah. But not just Amunah. If alone explained, what does it mean, Amunah? Amunah Secha. God, you have belief. What, belief in yourself? Belief in me? I believe in you, you believe in me. Handshake, God. Let's believe in each other. Me and God, we believe in each other. If alone explained, Amunah Secha means God believes in me. Otherwise, he wouldn't have given me life today. By the mere fact that God woke me up, it means he empowered me. He gave me a sense of mission, a sense of direction, a sense of purpose. The first thing we should think when we wake up in the morning is, God, you've given my neshama back to me. It was God, it was you who did it. I appreciate it. I say thank you. I recognize it. I realize it was done by you, God. I realize it was done b'chemla, with compassion, with mercy, with rachmanis, with kindness. And I realize also it was done, God, you believe in me. You've given me the ability to accomplish, to achieve. You've given me something to do today. There's no way an infinite, intelligent, omnipotent being like the Ribbono Shel Olam would wake me up and give me life today if there was no purpose for it. And therefore, the first thing a Jew does in the morning is wakes up and recognizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him life, gave him direction, gives him sense to live for. It's a beautiful way to wake up. I'll jump briefly to Birchas HaTorah. So Machlok is exactly how many brachas Birchas HaTorah is, two or three, and exactly the nature of it, Birchas HaMitzvah, Birchas HaRach Baudah. But we say, Birchas HaShem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaShem, HaShem, HaZotav, HaTzivanu, Lassuk, with Divrei Torah, or Al Mitzvah's Torah, Machlok, HaShkenaz, and Sfardim. Then we say, V'harav Na HaShem, HaKadosh, you should make it sweet to us, as Divrei Torah, V'finu, V'yam Chabesh Yisrael, in our mouths, in the mouths of Am Yisrael, v'nei anachnu v'tzetzem v'tzetzem chabeis Yisrael, kulani yodei shmech v'lom dei sarasach l'shma. It should be sweet to us. What should be sweet? Two different dimensions of Talmud Torah. One is lom dei sar. One is yodei shmecha, and number two is lom dei sarasach. There are two independent values. There are two independent dinim. There are two independent components of Talmud Torah. One is yediyas haTorah, knowledge of Torah, conquering Shas, knowing Rishonim, knowing Shitas. And that's number one. It should be sweet to me, the knowledge of God. And it's not just Lom Yodei Torah, it's Yodei Shemecha. We want to understand Torah and understand God through the Torah. We want to understand the Chochmas Hashem that the Torah provides for us. Chumash, Gemara, Halacha, Machshava, Hashkaf, it's all Torah Hashem. And number one is Yodei Shemecha, and number two is Lom Dei Sarasecha L'shma. It's not just the knowledge. It's not just the result of attaining knowledge of Torah. It's the process as well. It's the process of lom de sarasach l'shma, to be osik into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, to appreciate the depth of his Torah. A famous Chassidish story, this bracha reminds me, people maybe know it, that the Chassid comes to the Rebbe and says, Rebbe, Rebbe, I learned Torah, I just don't understand a thing. I forget it all. I feel like I'm taking a big, huge bucket and just pouring water through the bucket, and there's a hole at the end of the bucket, and the water pours right through. And I'm not retaining anything. And the Rebbe says, you're right, but the bucket at the end of the day is clean. And in a certain sense, that's Torah. Torah is also, it builds us with knowledge, it builds us with ideas, it gives us Havana, but at the end of the day, if all Torah serves is a mikvah to clean us, to cleanse our thoughts, the process of learning Torah is also a valuable one. There are two dimensions of Torah, and they're both alluded to in this bracha. Bracha to Hashem, Hamalame Torah le'amo Yisrael, Kash Baruch Hu teaches us Torah. Then we say, next bracha, Shebachar banu mikol ha'amin v'nasalanu es Torasa. And again, there are two different things. Number one is Bachar banu mikol ha'amin. And number two is nasalanu es Torasa. There are two different dimensions, and they always go one after the other. If you look at Sefer Shemos, first HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Chumash builds us as a family and gracious and into a nation in Shemos, and only once we're a nation, only after Yetzias Mitzrayim do we get the Torah. It's not just Shlachatami, it's Shlachatami v'yavduni. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu built the nation and built his chosen nation, and Bachar Banu, he chose us, and he chose us to elevate us, to give us unique purpose. But if we're not a unique nation, we can't have unique purpose. And therefore, it starts off with the Shebachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected us, he chose us, he made us different. He said, this is my nation. V'nasan lanu es Torasa. God gave us his Torah. Once we're selected as a nation, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mamlachas Kone V'Goy Kadosh as an Am HaNivchar, once we're chosen as the chosen people to have a specific purpose in the world, to be an Or LaGoyim, to represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu's values and midos in this world, only then does he give us Torah, the book which tells us what we're supposed to do, how to reflect him, what are his values, what is his hashkafa, what are his midos, what is everything about HaKadosh Baruch Hu about. Only after Shabbachar Ravani Mikol Ha'amim, only then is it V'nasalanu Es Torasa. One of the interesting halalukas after Ashrei, I think it's the third one, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Essentially has two parts to it. It starts off with the word haluka and ends with the word haluka, which most of them do, almost as bookends, telling me it's like a set unit. However, if you look, they both have, at the halfway mark, there's this both line of Yahalalu. The last line is Yahalu at Shem Hashem, Kinis Gav Shmo Levado, Hodu Arash Hashemai, Ve'am Kalim Atilu Chol Chai Kalim Atilu Chol Chai Kalim. And the end of the first half is Yahalu at Shem Hashem. They both start with Yahalu at Shem Hashem. Ki, above it's Kihut Sivav V'Nivro, V'yam Dei Lalu Chol Chai, etc., etc. That's the two closing sentences. If you had a sitter, it would be very helpful. It starts off with the word haluka, ends with the word haluka, both, and then the two halves in it. Each half starts with halalu et Hashem. The first was halalu et Hashem min Hashamay, and the second was halalu et Hashem min Haaretz. And already, halalu et Hashem min, what is Shamayim Haaretz? You get the impression they're like working off each other. The first was halalu et Hashem min Hashamayim, halalu ba'amro mim, halalu kol melach, halalu kol tzvav, halalu kol shemesh ve'areach, who's praising God, the sun, the moon, the stars, the rakia, etc., etc. The heavens of heavens, those are all things that praise God. God is praised by the heavens. And then again, etc., etc. Then you have the second half, which is Haluat Hashem min Haaretz. Tanin v'chol tohomos eshuvarat shalav kita ruach sara osa devarim harim v'chol kavot etzpi v'chol arazim, fire and snakes and snow and all the different types of nature, not the atmosphere which praised God in the first half, but the mundane, the nature which praised God over here. Chayiv v'chol behema remes v'chitzipar kanach malcheres v'chol lumim sar v'chol shafer, it's elevating slowly to animals, eventually to people. Everyone is Yahalu Hashem Hashem Kiyunis Gav Levadu Vahodu Hashem Shemayim Erkel Mamuv Tzilu Chol Chaz Gav Shemayim Vahodu Halu Ka. Again, the two dimensions of on one hand praising God from Shemayim, and the heavens praising God, and on the other hand, the earth praising God, and it's not a descending order. I don't think it also starts from like the heavens, which is greater, to a less great level, to a second tier level. I think it's just more and more personal. And you'll notice, even as the thing goes along, it's not just animals that praise God, it's kings, it's single people, it's old people, it's bechurim, it's na'arim, old people, young people. The praise becomes very personalized. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is godless in his halukah starts off very generic, that the Shamei Shamayim see it, and the stars see it. In a certain sense, it's global and unbelievable. On the other hand, it's much more personal. And as the halukah travels along, that occurs. I heard a word, actually, from Elie Weinbach's father. I remember last year, when I said the word over, he got very excited because he overheard me say it as well. I think it's a really true word. At least it's very nice. It's true by Marv as well as by Shach, by Weinbach, who's now a Rav out in Los Angeles. At the time, it was Rosh Yeshiva in Masifta, Rabbi Peitz Masifta, whatever, JCRTMA. He said over the following word, he said, if you look at the Berachas Kriyat Shema, if you look at it, you're paying attention, because now you know you have to remember, your father said it. You know, last year, just remember the fact that that's your father said it. Okay? So you come back to that for. So, I think the way he explained it over was, if you look, the Berachas Kriyat Shema, it's probably Machlokas Rishonim, but at first glance, they don't really serve as a Berachas Kriyat Shema. Whether or not they count on a halachic level is a separate discussion, but you look at the context, you would have expected for a Berachas Kriyat Shema, Asher Kedoshanu Mitzvot V'Tzivanu, Al Mitzvot Kriyat Shema, or Likroa Et Shema, or something like that. Such a bracha we do not say. There are Rishonim who mentioned in the beginning of brachos in certain contexts when it could have been said, it would have been said. I believe Talmid Rabbi Yonah has it right in the beginning. So take a look. I think it's like on the Aleph or that Beis, the Daf Harif over there. But what we seem to have, whether in a halachic level, it's not a Birchas HaMitzvah, or whether it's not a Birchas Kreshma, or whether just like the context of the bracha seems to be something totally different. Why Kreshma is in there, if we have time, we'll get back to it and discuss it, but they seem to be totally irrelevant. It's almost calling it Birchas Kreshma would be like a misnomer. And he wanted to suggest that the three brachos build up towards Shemone Esrei. And he started off by suggesting, if I had to throw out to the audience, how is it that people find God? How do people come in connection to God? How do people find emunah and find faith? He said the first way, very often people find faith is by looking at nature. You're just so unbelievably overwhelmed. I think with Sajagon writes, he said in one of the Deos, there's no way such a sophisticated, intricate world could have developed on its own. I think there's a Medrash Tanchum that quotes a discussion between Rabbi Akiva and like a kofer, some heretic, and I forgot who it was, maybe one of the Romans or something. He goes, how do you know, Rabbi Akiva, that the world exists? And the Medrash Tanchuma writes that Rabbi Akiva says, how do you know that, who made this coat, this cloth? He goes, a tailor made it. He goes, how do you know? He goes, it's obvious. He goes, so to this world, there's no way such intricate details could be created just by chance, haphazardly. I think I once heard one of these from like Asia Tarot type program, they said, what are the odds of the world being developed this way, in such a way, you know, et cetera, like one in some billions of a billion powers or some that. It's a very high number. I don't remember what the number was. Hence my very shallow and superficial understanding of the number. But nonetheless, it's a very, very, very small chance. Like, mamish, less than a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a fraction. It's mamish, like, you know, it was like 100, it was like billions and billions of zeros in the power place. You with me? I forgot how to say that properly. In the exponent was like in the trillions, or maybe even beyond the trillions. It was like some unbelievably high number. Maybe it was like way beyond the trillions. I don't know. It's the biggest number you can think of, guys. Buckle up. It was huge. I don't know what I would tell you. In any event, there's a certain sense of, like, you know, and you think about the intricacies of how we breathe without even realizing it. Like, I remember when my son was born, I'm like, it was a little bit tough. The first few seconds he wasn't breathing. The doctor popped him out. Thank God he started breathing. I'm like, you know, I took breathing all my life for granted. Here this kid is, 20 seconds old, and he knows how to breathe. Like, who taught him? Say, like, and imagine a world without God. It's true, it's natural, but the whole reproductive system itself, everything is just so beyond comprehension. You look around at the intricacies and the details of nature, a person says, Ma'arabu Masach Hashem must be a God. That's one way people find God. A second way people find God is they look around Torah and they just learn Torah and they just see its truth. Whether it means the discovery codes with the numbers, you just read the Chumash, you're like, this stuff is right. It just feels right. You look at it, Torah just is inspiring. You hear a machlokas, you're showing, you're like, wow, there's depth to it. You hear a svar of a ketzos, and you're like, this is just beautiful. You see the profound sophistication. You see the depth of Torah, and you say, this Torah is true. And the third way very often people find Torah is you look at history. You look at the world. Things are not just coincidences. Things are not just by chance. The way the family you're born into and this and that and how Am Yisrael persevered through generation after generation. Where is the Greek and Roman, where's the Greek thinker, where's the Roman soldier, etc., etc. But Weinbach pointed out that the three brachos of Shemona Esrei of Kriyat Shema, which are really designed to give us the faith to walk into Shemona Esrei properly. They're designed, the first one is the first message about nature. Yotzer Or Uvarech Hoshech Hoshech Shalom Uvarech Sakol. And we go through both by Shachar as well as by Maariv. The fourth bracha Maariv, maybe we'll get to if we have time. We go through and we really explain the details of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and the angels of the world and intricacies of the world and nature of the world. And we conclude with bracha to Hashem, Yotzer HaMa'oros, God, you created the luminaries, the sun and the moon. We move into Ahava Rabba, which focuses specifically in Maariv, but even by Shachar and Talmud Torah and understanding of Torah. And there's a plea for it, which supposedly the Nitzivi used to dab with more kavana than anyone else. When he would say, Avinu Avarachman Amrachim Rachim Alayna B'Sein B'Rubinu L'Havin L'Haskil L'Shmo L'Lumor L'Lamed L'Shmo V'Lasu L'Kayim, a desire to know Hashem's Torah, a desire to act upon Hashem's Torah, a desire to connect to God. God, I want to connect to you through Torah. I want to connect you through mitzvot. I want to connect you through kibbutz goliath. I want to connect to you, God. And that's the second bracha. And the third one is history, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us through Yitzias Mitzrayim, and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us from Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim gal tanu, mebeis tavadim piti sanu, kol b'chayim ragtav, achar chagatav, yam sifakatav, yam divatav, yam avartav, yam sifakatav, yam sifakatav, yam sifakatav, etc., etc. Al zosh shebuchah ahuvim v'rom mukel, that we are the ones who recognize, we saw you single-handedly carried and safeguarded and protected Am Yisrael throughout world history. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you've done us unbelievably well, and in a certain sense, those are the three main pillars in which our moon is based upon, three main arguments for God. Number one, nature. Number two, Torah. Number three, Jewish history, the Mesorah, Am Yisrael, survival, etc., etc. The Kuzari describes the Mesorah, slightly more profound than I think many of us understand it. The Kuzari describes, at the end of the day, my father told me Torah is true. So either he's right, and it is, or he's lying, which I don't believe, or he's wrong. But he's definitely not lying. So either he's right or he's wrong. Most likely he's right. And that's why Torah is true, the Mesorah works. Christopher's father, Peter, told him the exact same thing. And Muhammad's father, Ishmael, told him the same thing all the way back up. So what makes our Mesorah different? Our Mesorah is different because it's not just that my father is probably telling the truth as opposed to lying. But what he's saying is just more concrete, much more much more likely to be true, because at the end of the day, it's not just, yeah, he heard from Jesus who said he met God, but my father said that his father all the way back experienced Har Sinai with 600,000 other men, 2 million other people. A claim very difficult to have made up. You can imagine someone coming along and gathering 600,000 people, which in itself is a feat, not easily accomplished. Try to get 600 Jews to do anything besides invest. And to agree to make up a religion that no one would agree to it. And if you start telling everyone, oh yeah, there were 600,000 people, well, how come I didn't hear about this yesterday? The odds are such a claim is true, and the fact that my father's father's father told my father's father that he was there. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand in history, and I think that's a lot of the third bracha. And these are the brachas, Kriyat Shema, not necessarily focusing on Shema, but building up the Emunah, to prepare to daven properly. The first little pasuk of Hashem Sifasai Tiftarchu Fi Agid Tzilasecha, the Salvechik thought it was a matir to daven. Who am I to walk in front of God? But you want to know what the pasuk says? Hashem, open up my mouth. I'm allowed to matir myself to it. It serves as a permission. But God, I'm allowed. It's a chutzpah without this pasuk. The pasuk serves as a matir. But the truth is, if you think about it, the pasuk in context is a pasuk from Tehillim in which David HaMelech said, right, I forgot if it was before or after, Leif Tahar Brali Elokim, right after, God essentially, David essentially, according to the Pasha Pshat, was over in Eish HaSish, slept with Bathsheba, it's Machlokes in the Gemara, it's Machlokes in the Mishorim, it's Machlokes in the Achron, it's Machlokes throughout the Mepharshim, whether that should be taken literally or not. whatever, but definitely sinned, and as beautifully comes out with his hodah, says Chatasi Lashem. And in that paragraph where he says, "God, I sinned. I slept with Bathsheba, Uriah's wife." He opened his line, "Hashem, open up my mouth and allow me to speak to you." And again, it's like this. It's coming from this position of, "God, I have no right to begin to talk to you in the first place. I have no right to speak to you. I don't have this chusah. Who am I? Hashem, open up my mouth and allow me to properly say what I'm supposed to say." We discussed the first paragraph, the first three. Let's pick up with Atachonin quickly. If you look at the next 12 brachos, there's a gradual, well, there are two halves of six. The first six brachos are prayers for individuals requested on a national level. Chaneinu, give us knowledge. Hashiveinu, Shlach lanu, Re'evan yeinu, Rifa'enu, Berech aleinu. We're asking on a plural level, on a national level, God, give us these things, but they're individual prayers. Knowledge, closeness to you, forgiveness, ge'ula, which is not the ge'ula of Mashiach, but a daily ge'ula, that God, you should salvage me and give me good health as well as food. Those are much more individual needs. Then the second half of the Bakashos, before the concluding one, which I have to do together, the second half of the Bakashos are a process, as the Gemara in Megillah articulates, I think it's on Daf Yud Zayin, that first the way the Gaul is going to come, Hashem is going to blow a big shofar and do Kibbutz Golis. Hashem, we're living through that right now. Next, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring Shofteinu, Hashiva Shofteinu, he'll bring Mishpat to the world, he'll bring justice to the world. Then the Gemara writes in Masechet Megillah, once there is justice in the world, wicked v'lamalshinim will all fall away, they'll all be persecuted, they'll all be taken care of by the judges, and once that occurs, who will be remaining behind? Just the tzaddikim. And when the tzaddikim remaining behind, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will return Yerushalayim to its glory, and once that occurs, Ben David will come, and that takes us to the next six brachos before we get to Shema Kolenu. And the truth is, it's not just that there are two halves. One on a plural level, the second on a national level, like a national process of Geula, which we're praying for. But the first half, in a certain sense, start off with the hype and slowly work down to the most mundane. They start off with the spiritual, with the intellectual, with the... And they work their way down to the most physical, the most basic, the most mundane. We start off asking for knowledge. And it's not just knowledge. We're bridging from the Shavach to the Bakashas. We start off even the first two or three words. Atachonin la'adam da'as. That stuff is not yet a bakasha. That first line is still part of the Shevach. And that's one of the reasons that first line is there, is one of the reasons why we stick in Atachon Antanu after the first line, because that first line is still like a quasi here and there type of thing. God, you educate people. You have the ability to do so. We recognize that, and only then do we say, Chaneinu mi'itcha debin of Haskel, Chachamino das, and the Faksfardu, God, give me knowledge, which is the best way of understanding and deriving closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, understanding Him, appreciating Him conceptually and intellectually, comprehending as much as we possibly can, even though realize the pursuit is unattainable. The more and more, the better we can. After that, we say Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarasech, at least bring me close to and this is the Torah. V'kaveinu Malkeinu L'Avodasech, V'achzireinu B'tshuva Shleim L'Fanach. Baruch Hashem, how it's said B'tshuva. The tshuva is what allows us to return. The prayer is return us using tshuva. Right? Hashiveinu avinu le sarasach. Return us to Torah. V'kaveinu malkeinu la avodasach. Bring us closer to Torah. Bring us closer to your avoda. V'achzireinu b'tshuva shleim alefanech. Allow our tshuva. Allow tshuva to be what brings us closer to Baruch Hashem harotzeh, who wants b'tshuva. Who wants, what does he mean? He doesn't want our tshuva. It's not harotzeh ha-tshuva. It's he wants us to return to him with tshuva. God, allow our tshuva. Allow us to return to you, to your Torah, to you, not on an intellectual level, but to your Torah, and to your avoda, avodasecha. Bring me close to you in a more spiritual sense, in a more emotional sense, not so much on an intellectual sense. One step below that is, God, if you're not going to bring me close, at least slach lanu avinu kichatanu, at least, if you're not going to bring me close, at least don't give me distance. At least don't, you know, keep me with Averos. Remove the Averos, forgive me. Slach lanu avinu, why ki chatanu, machal lanu makinu ki pashanu, ki mochel v'slayachata, And in a certain sense, kimo chav sleachata is no longer a bakasha, it's almost a praise, and it almost concludes of these 12 bakasha. We pointed out the first six were working down from spiritual to mundane. There are really two camps of three, where the first three are more spiritual, the last three are more mundane. And in a certain sense, we're closing. We started that atachanel adam da'as, melamed le'enosh binah. Now we're continuing with kiat mochel v'slayachata, almost like a shevach in the beginning, a shevach at the end, with the bakash is in the middle. Because if you notice, Hashivei Novinu has no shevach at all, it's complete bakashes. Ki mochel v'slayachata, brochad Hashem chanu namai v'slawach. And those are the three spiritual requests you make on a plural Am Yisrael level. Then we talk about much more mundane things. We talk about Re'eva, Anyenev, Rivar, Ivenu, Golin, Me'elman, Shanachi, Tiguel, Chazakata. This Geula is not a Mishichistic Geula. That occurs the second half of the Bakashas. This is a much more Geula Sayachid on a communal level. Geula Sayachid, give me a personal Geula, give me good things, allow things to work out for me. We move on from that to Rafa'inu. If I can't have good things, at least I should have my health. And the most basic things, God, at least make the agriculture work. We should have food. We should be able to sustain ourselves. And again, we move into the next six brachos, which are building towards Mashiach, etc., etc. Then you have Shema Kolenu, which at first glance is unbelievably redundant. If you think about Shema Kolenu, God, listen to my prayers. Well, why would I have prayed them if I didn't want you to listen to them? God, everything I just said, I meant. That's what Shema Kolenu is all about. And what? If you wouldn't have said Shema Kolenu, then the whole thing would have been a joke. So I think the pshat is Shema Kolenu. I tell you, it's a beautiful poem. It's a little bit corny, but I think it's beautiful also. I guess it could be both. That says, you know, I look back at my life and I notice that there are two sets of footprints as I walk on the beach of my, and it's like a mushroom of my life. I see my footprints and God's footprints. And the most difficult times, oh, no, I got the wrong mushroom. Sorry. There's another mushroom. How's it go? There's one very similar to it. In my mind, I heard them both at the same time. What was the other mushroom? Something like this. I'm not sure the mushroom, but the bottom line is, I once heard a quote, and my mom's fridge, these little two poems are next to each other, that's why I confused them. But I once heard a quote that says, God, you've given me everything I wanted, even if it wasn't everything I asked for. And it's just, you know, what do we ask for when we pray? We want to make a little bit of money, we want to be more popular, we want the girl to like us, we want to win in the basketball game. I guess when you get to yeshiva, you outgrow these things, and you want more sophisticated things, you want to make sure you're learning well, and you want whatever you're davening for. You come back to shul as a balabas, and you start being spala for shlishi or for shishi to get the covered, back to the money. You know, each stage is you're supposed to daven for, Shema Kolenu means, God, I just want you to hear my voice. I just want you to take my tefillos. I just want to be, you know, just do for me what I want, even if it's not what I said. Rebona Shalom, Milfanecha Malkeinu Reka Malti Shivenu, don't send me away empty-handedly. You listen to my prayers. Just listen to my prayers. Allow me to become close. Allow my bakashas to become close. I'm going to skip Ritzay temporarily and tell you a little word on modim. We pointed out earlier on that the word modim, or hoda'ah, or todah, etc., has two potential English meanings. One is thank you, and number two is I admit. So you can look at modani again in a minute. I pointed out the duality of the word. It could be it's not so pasha based on the following vort, maybe the following two word vorts don't work together. They do. I'm not sure. Modim anachnu lach and no delecha. In modim we have two hodas. One is modim anachnu lach and two is no delecha. When it's happens to ow. Modim anachnu lach means we are modet to you. No de al means we thank you for what you've given me. And that's, I think, the pshat in this modim. Modim anachnu lach, we admit to you that sh'ata hu Hashem elokeinu elokei avotenu le'olam va'ed tzorcheinu magen sheinu ata lo davardar. God, we recognize that you are, or maybe ata lo davardar, or maybe lo davardar no delachot, I'm not focusing, sidorim as well. But we recognize you are God. We admit that you are the God of our fathers, the tzorcheinu, the rock of our lives, and the magen yeshenu, whether it's ata hu kama or ata hu lo davardar, whatever it is. Point number two is no delecha. And because we recognize who you are, because we recognize that, we can therefore give thanks. You can't give thanks to God if you don't really appreciate who he is and what he's done for you. And therefore, no delecha, unisaper tilasecha, al chayenu hamisrim biyadecha, v'yal nishmosenu hapakuros lach, God, you've given us all these things, life and breath and the ability to live and miracles and goodness and everything else, morning, noon, and night. And for all these things, you've never backed out, and we continue supporting you, etc., etc., modim. Being that it's Hanukkah time, we'll talk a little bit about Al Hanisim. Quickly. Again, people could stay and leave. I plan on going for another, I don't know, half hour or so, 15 minutes ago. If you have to go, you feel free to go. Stay. I'm not looking to hold anyone prisoner here. I just want to say a bunch of artluck, and people who like them will hopefully be able to gain from them. If you have a Al Hanisim, you'll be able to appreciate this a little bit better. But if you don't, you'll be able to appreciate it on some level nonetheless. If you have a little venture, feel free to take it out. We say Al Hanisim, V'yala Porkem, V'yala Gvuas, V'yala Chuas, V'yala Milchamos, Shasisa Lavatini, by Mimahim, Bazman Hazeh. So if you look carefully, Purim and Hanukkah both start off the exact same way. They both start out B'yimei, the person who it was. In Purim, it's B'yimei Mordechai V'Esther B'Shushan Habira. Kishe Amad. And then it tells you who it is, it tells you Kishe Amad. In Hanukkah, it's B'yimei Matisyahu Ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol Cheshmono Uvanav. Kishe Amda. Kishe Amad, Kishe Amda. Similar type of thing. This word, by the way, is by Tarragon. So Reuven Tarragon, I mean, our yeshiva over here, he suggested this word, Al Hanisim. I thought it was beautiful. Kisha Amar Aleihem Haman Harasha, Kisha Amdal Malchus Yavan Harasha Alam Chayisrael. You see a little bit of a parallel. In other words, there is Bimei et Kisha Amar, Kisha Amdal to do what? That's point number one. Now you find Bikesh Lahashmed, Laharog, Laabit, it's called Yudim Minavi Adzak, and Tafanash, and Yomecha, Bishlosh, Asar, Lachosh, Nemesar, Ukhodesh Adar, Shalom, Lavos. What do they want to do? Destroy and kill and beat, then our people and women and children and everyone, and now total destruction. There's a lot of focus in the Purim on the potential destruction. Mash Enkin over here, the Chanukah, Lashkicham Sarasach, Levahaviram, Mechukei Ratzanecha. They wanted to destroy Torah and Ratzan Hashem and Mitzvos. And again, pointing out the parallel, at the end of that stage comes Vata Brachamecha Harabim, both in the Purim as well as in the Megillah, as well as in the Chanukah. You notice again, here comes statement number two. Vata Brachamecha Harabim, the parallel structure. God, with your Rachmanus, Purim, Hafarta Tasasa, Vilkokakas, Machshafto, Vashivosolo, Gemulo, Baroshu, Vasolo, Osav, Esbanaval, Eitz. What did you do, God? You've saved us and you killed Haman. Relatively short and to the point. Mashein came by Chanukah, where we say Atab Racham Echa Rabim Amartam Lehem Beis Sarasam Ram Taz Rivam Dan Taz Dinam Nekam Taz Nekmasam Mishar Tzuki Bar Biad Chalashim Rabim Biad Matim Itzmeh Biad Tahar Misham Biad Tadikim Zeh Biad Oskel Sarasecha, etc., etc. There's much more of a focus on the salvation by Chanukah opposed to on Purim, where the focus is on the almost destruction. And I think the idea is very straightforward. Purim, the goal was to survive. Chanukah, the goal was to thrive. Purim, we don't say halakas, it took place in Chutz Laaretz. At the end of the day, we did not have self-autonomy. We were still ruled by Achashverosh. Those are two of the potentially three reasons why we don't say halal on Purim. And Megillah is the Gemara Megillah and Daf Yadala quotes. The third one being Mitakadu say it, but it's couched in the Megillah. In any event, there's a certain sense that the miracle of Purim is just Jewish salvation. We saved alive. We didn't return back to Eretz Yisrael. We didn't have leadership over ourselves, but we just continued living. We returned from negative back to neutral, back to par. Masha'en came Chanukah, we elevated. We came back to Eretz Yisrael, we came back to the Beis HaMikdash, we took over. And it's mamash found right over here. And then because of that, you find two more extra added sections in Chanukah, which you may have noticed, the Chanukah Al Hanisim, the Chanukah B'mei Matisyahu is much longer, and until now, it's a certain sense, it's been the same. Chanukah, they just adds on two parts. As Rabbi Tarragon pointed out. Part number one is there's this extra element of praise. There's this extra element of we went back, we took back the Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't just that you saved us from destruction, where Purim concludes. But Chanukah, you've turned us back to Eretz Yisrael. You've given us our government. You've given us Malchus Yisrael. They may have been Chashmonaim and Kohanim, and it may have been usher for them to be kings. But nonetheless, even that we value. Jewish autonomy in Israel is a valuable thing. That's what we're celebrating. That's what you find over here a little bit in what's it called? In the end of the Al Hanisa. If you look at like a well-known thing, the Yigdal, back in the beginning, Yigdal has how many different statements? People know this? 13. Why? Because they commemorate too?
Yigimalikrim
in the Rambam. The Rambam wrote 13 principles of faith. They later on been translated into Ani Mamins. Most likely that was not the Rambam who did it. I think there's one parashat who says it was, but I think 99% of the world believes it was, and some guy translated the Rambam's. Right, put the word Ani Mamin in front of it. They really come up from the 13 principles of faith that the Rambam so beautifully articulates in what's it called? In the Hagdamah Perek HaChelek. We say in the brachos over here, Asher Nasan, Asher Brachat Hashem Kei Melchalam, Asher Nasan La Sachvi Bina, Levchim Ven Yonav Ven Laila, God you've given, Asher Nasan La Sachvi Bina. Sachvi, there are two perushim. One is the rooster recognition between Yom and Laila, and number two is you've given Seichel. So there's a difference between Yom and Belayla. Exactly what the rooster is doing is, in a sense, he's the first one to do it. He's the first one who cockadoodle will do his first thing in the morning. Probably worthwhile to think about that more. I don't have such a good shot. Shalom asani guy, shalom asani oven, shalom asani isha. What? Yeah, but why the rooster? I guess, yeah, because he's the first one who does it. I assume that's the shot. Then we say shalom asani guy, shalom asani oven, shalom asani isha. And each one of these are elevating in levels of mitzvot. A guy has no mitzvahs except for Shem Mitzvah Noach. An Eved has fewer, more mitzvahs, like an Isha. An Isha has even more because she has more Kedushas Yisrael. There is a discussion, I think it's Machlokas 2 days, and Rashi, whether this is a higher status, which is the less politically correct thing to say, that Avadim are better than Goyim, women are better than Avadim, and men are obviously the best. The more politically correct Pshat, as well as the more accepted one, not because it's politically correct, just because more it's more accepted, is that this is not totally in the status of a person, but much more linked to the level of mitzvos a person's chayavim. And there's a certain sense of God, thanking God for giving me the ability to perform mitzvos, and giving me, making me bar chayuv and mitzvos, giving me more of a role, more of a potential in mitzvos, more of a ability to do so, etc., etc. There is an Italian gear so which phrases it in the positive, not that Shlos Tani Gai, but Shasani Yisrael, not that Shlos Tani Yavi, but Shasani Ben Chorin, etc., etc. And whether that Italian gear so was Lechad Chilo, who knows what comes, but people should be aware of that as well. What else do I have over here? If you notice, Baruch Sha'amar and Yishtabach are almost like bookends. Yishtabach almost closes the initial praise and Baruch Sha'amar opens it up. And one of the best ways of saying is Baruch Hashem Melech Mu'ula Batesh Bachos and Baruch Hashem. Where did it go? Baruch Hashem, Kel Melchadol Batish Bachos, and then we continue on, Kel Odos, and then we continue on, there is like almost the quoting back to Baruch Sha'amar. If you look at the word Yishtabach, what does the word Yishtabach mean? It comes from the word Shevach, but it's not just Shevach. What does it mean, Yishtabach? He should praise himself. And the question is, why don't we just praise God? Like, why is God praising ourselves over here? I think Rabbi Soloveitchik said, at the end of Psukkah to Zimra, we've exhausted ourselves. We've tried our best to praise God as best as we possibly can. We said the Halalukas, and we said Ashe beforehand, and afterwards we say Oz Yashir, and there's so many different ways we try our best to articulate and to capture Kadosh Baruch Hu's praise. At the end of the day, we give up, and we say, you want to know what, God? We just can't do it. Our finite ability to praise just can't possibly capture, can't possibly articulate your infinite nature, your infinite ability, your infinite everything about you. We can't properly praise you. And therefore the best is, Yishtabach Shimcha Lad Malkeinu. Praise yourself, God. Soloveitchik pointed out, the Nusach HaSfar seems to point that out, seems to further articulate this idea, because, what's the line? Uvachein Yishtabach Shimcha Lad Malkeinu. And you want to know what? Therefore, God, you guys can do it yourself. We totally give up. I totally have no idea. But God, what do you want from me? I can't praise you. the Gemara and Megillah seems to say after the Chazal put together the Shmor Esrei, Mi Amal Gevur Hashem Yishmir Kol Tehillah So. No one who can really properly praise God, only who knows Kol Tehillah So, and that's no one's the best we got is Shmor Esrei, and that's how we stick to that format. Over here as well, the best thing we have over here is God, you praise yourself. You know, HaMelech, HaGadol, HaKadosh, Ba'ashem HaBarat. Go ahead, Kilechanoah, because to you, it's nice that we came looking at us in Shir Shvacha. Apparently, Shir Shvacha is nice. Halav Zimah, these are good to you. You want us to do these things. These are good things for you. But we can't really praise you. God, you got to do it yourself. Yeah.
So then, shouldn't
you do Shvacha? Well, it's in a certain sense, it would not have surprised me. It's not a bad question. It's at the end of something, specifically the Pesuk Zimah, where the goal is merely to praise God. The Brachos and Shmoneh Esrei is no longer only a praise, it has other functions and other purposes as well.
Maybe on Shabbos we say that in the Shabbos Kukai, then we say something, we actually say explicitly that our praise is special.
And in Achtamah, speaking, Lahodos Lecha, etc. Yeah, that's correct.
Also, the same as on the Shabbos.
No, the Sakhfar doesn't say it every day, I think you will. You just have the Sakhfar on Shabbos, maybe. We say in Aleinu, and Aleinu has two real parts to it. The first part of Aleinu, we sing in shuls and whatnot. It's actually, the first part is, it's our job to praise you, God. It's our job to recognize you're different, that we have the real God and all the other nations are wrong. God, you're true. And therefore, because you are true, the Al-Kain or V-Al-Kain, depending on how connected it is, we want to see your Malchus in this world. We want the whole world to recognize Hashem. We want the whole world to appreciate Hashem's uniqueness. Yeshua seemingly, according to Chazal, wrote this prayer in the beginning of Sefer Yeshua when he walked into Eretz Yisrael. In other words, in the beginning, when Moshe took over, he was overwhelmed, but he realized his purpose was to bring, you know, Hashem Echad Ushma Echad, which is what the paragraph concludes with, Hashem Echad Ushma Echad to the world. He wanted the whole world to recognize that Hashem is one and unique, etc., etc. And his mission of going into Eretz Yisrael was that. We took it out of the Malchus of Rosh Hashanah davening, describing Hashem's Melech, Hashem's ability to be the Melech, how the whole world will recognize him, put it in our davening every single day. Being that people seem to have less cough than I thought so, I'll have one or two more quick comments and we'll finish up in a few more minutes. I thought I'll go ahead, Ben. Well, I'll make it 15 minutes, we'll stop here. We say every day, Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos, etc. People should just be aware, according to the Ramban, it's a mitzvah saseh. If you believe it, it's mitzvah kavanah. Here's a great opportunity to rack up in those mitzvahs. The Ramban believes that saying Hayom Yom Rishon, Hayom Yom Sheni L'Shabbos, you can be Mekayim Mitzvah, Zachar Zom Shabbos. Although the climax, the zenith, the best way of fulfilling that mitzvah is on Shabbos with Kiddush, nonetheless, every single day saying the Shir Shalom, Hayom Yom Rishon, Hayom Yom Sheni, Shlishi, etc., all these are great ways of praising, of being Mekayim Mitzvah, Daraisa, of Zachar Zom Shabbos. I'll point out briefly a little word I once had. I hope it's true. I'm not 100% sure. This may not be true. I suggested to a couple people who I respected. They seem to like it, said it was possible, but I honestly don't know. If you notice the Shemona Esrei, there's only one day the entire year where the Shemona Esrei is not the same Maariv, Shachas, Mincha. On Yom Kippur it's the same, on Rosh Hashanah it's the same, on Chag it's the same, on Rosh Chodesh it's the same, on Tuesday it's the same, on Wednesday it's the same, on Chanukah it's the same. With the exception of Shabbos, there's no other day where Maariv is the same as Shachas, Shachas is the same as Mincha. All three have different formulations, have different texts in what we say. And apparently Shabbos is different in its nature, that the mahus of the day, the motif, the genre, the theme of the day is not the same through and through, but apparently it progresses. Apparently it develops as the day moves on. And the question is, how so? So I wanted to suggest when I was younger as follows. I'm not sure it's true, but I think it's true. That based on the idea of a salvation going to develop, that one of the major differences between between Shabbos and Yom Tov is that a Shabbos HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekadesh Baruch HaTashem Mekadesh HaShabbos versus Am Yisrael is Baruch HaTashem Mekadesh Yisrael VeHazmanim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the calendar. We through Rosh Chodesh figure out when Yom Tov is going to be. Shabbos is every Saturday, day in, day out. Yom Tov changes, and that's why for Shabbos the Chi of Misa is more significant, while Yom Tov is only a Chi of Lav. It's not as significant because Am Yisrael himself has developed the post HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Am Yisrael is the one who's active, that's why we go Aliyah L'Regel, we go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yom Tov, but he sends us the Malachim on Shabbos for Shalom Aleichem, which we don't say on Yom Tov because the Malachim don't come. Maybe it couldn't be why we say Shabbat Shalom versus Chag Sameach, because Simcha comes from us, but Shalom comes from Shamayim, whatever it is. This is the theory he wanted to develop. That's really true. It could be. If you look at the tefillahs properly, at night, the Friday night tefillah, we talk about Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is in charge. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you look, skipping Shabbos for a moment, momentarily we'll get back. If you look at Mincha, the focus seems to have been shifted on Am Yisrael. Mikam Chisrael, Goy Echad Baruch, Tiferes Kedula. Look how great Am Yisrael is. They're the ones who are going to bring Mashiach. Look how great the other HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chosen nation. If you look at the Shachris, it's almost a transition, where it starts off talking about... if you look at the Shabbos morning for Shachris, it starts off, the focus seems to be more on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it shifts towards Am Yisrael as the tefillah goes on. And it could be, it's Kufa, the pivotal point, you know, where Am Yisrael takes over from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you look, we start at Yismach Moshe Manas Chelko, you gave us Torah, you gave us it, etc., etc. On the other hand, we took it and we keep Shabbos, etc., etc. It's almost both man and God in the Shabbos morning. And in a certain sense, as the day progresses, it could be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mekadosh Shabbos, Mashen Kein Yantiv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts Shabbos, he gives us Shabbos, and the goal of Shabbos is over the day that we should reflect and we should become the Balabas, we should take the ball and run with it, we should develop it. The focus shifts from HaKadosh Baruch Hu more towards Am Yisrael. As Shabbos progresses, this phenomenon may indeed occur. One last little idea. We say in Nishmas Kolchai, we say, Amuhulo Rov HaTishbachos. Why is it Rov HaTishbachos opposed to Kol HaTishbachos? God is deserving of Rov HaTishbachos. What does that mean? What? Maybe so. I heard from Rabbi Salvechik. One of my Bayim quoted Rabbi Salvechik, and later on I heard it also seen in Rav Shechter's Sefer Nefesh HaRav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that could have been Amuhulo Kol HaTishbachos, but he allows people to be successful enough. He allows Am Yisrael to thrive and be successful enough, to be accomplished enough, that some of the praise goes to us. He allows us to be successful. He allows us to achieve. He allows his children to grow and to develop. And therefore, he shares the Tishbachos with us. It could be he really deserves it all, but he allows us to be successful on our own, to grow on our own, and to achieve on our own. And that's why he shares in a certain sense the role of the Tishbachos, not called Tishbachos. I will stop here.